7:20, 20 minutes after 7 here at WVOX, WRTN, and WVOX.com. We're speaking with Bernard Crooks. He's president of the New York chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys and founding partner of Littman Crooks. Good morning, Mr. Crooks.
Good morning, Larry. Good to be here.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. I suppose you've been asked this many times, but how old do you have to be an elder law attorney?
Well, that's sort of a comical question, Larry. To be an elder law attorney, I started out at the age of 29. Most of my colleagues are in their mid-40s. I think maybe a good question would be, how old do you have to be to need an elder law attorney? And to that question, I would say anybody who's concerned about planning for their future and making sure that what they've worked so hard for is passed on to their children should probably talk to an elder law attorney.
And we're speaking with Bernard Crooks here on WVOX, WRTN, and WVOX.com. It's coming up on 7:21. The headline says, new Medicaid changes will hurt New York State's elderly. What's going on?
Well, unfortunately, this is a disaster for seniors. And Larry, Westchester County has the highest percentage of seniors in the entire state. In our country, we've made a philosophical decision that we are going to punish people if they get the wrong illness. If they get a heart attack, Medicare will pay for their coverage. However, if they've got Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's disease, then Medicare does not cover that, and they're forced to pay out of pocket at great expense, Larry. It's $10,000 to $15,000 a month. And what Congress did just last Wednesday is they made it even tougher for seniors and those with disabilities to qualify for this much-needed health care.
And we're speaking with Bernard Crooks here on WVOX, WRTN, and WVOX.com, coming up on 7:52. How'd they do it?
Well, it was a very, very bipartisan vote. In fact, in the Senate, the vote was 50-50. Vice President Dick Cheney flew in from Iraq to break the tie. And in the House of Representatives, not a single Democrat voted for this legislation, and it passed by a minuscule 2 votes. And what happened, Larry, is it's part of an overall, quote-unquote, deficit reduction package. So they sort of stuck this in an 800-page legislation package, and it got passed.
Now, Bernard Crooks says we're coming up on 7:23. If there's a deficit reduction package, this thing costs a basket full of money, whatever that sum is. It is a program. It costs money, and the Congress voted to save money by eliminating this program. The first question that comes up, I would think, is what would you cut instead?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, as a society, we've got to make a decision. If you live in America, do you want education? If you live in America, do you want health care? If you live in America, do you want to be protected from terrorists? So, you know, that's a tough question. But right now, we have made the decision to turn our backs on seniors who are sick. These are people who have fought in our wars. These are people who have paid taxes. And these are people who, frankly, Larry, get the wrong illness and then are forced to bankrupt themselves to pay for the health care.
At 7:23, Bernard Crooks, not to waste either of our time, if I ask you that question 4 times about what would you cut, will you give me an answer or will we just say that we're hurting the old?
Well, how about this for an answer? The president and the administration is proposing that we eliminate the estate tax, which allows millionaires to pass on their assets to their children. Currently, the federal estate tax exemption is $2 million, and the administration wants to completely repeal the estate tax, but yet they want to punish people who get sick. So if you forced me to give you an answer, it would simply be, why not lower the estate tax exemption so that we can pay for the health care of our seniors?
And we're speaking with Bernard Crooks. Bernard Crooks, the president of the New York chapter of National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys, founding partner of Littman Crooks. You're listening to him on WVOX, WRTN, and WVOX.com. It's 7:24. Now, what happens? Somebody is of a certain age, and God forbid they get a heart attack. God forbid they get Parkinson's disease. What are the scenarios involved? What are you talking about here?
Well, if they get a heart attack and they're over 65, they have Medicare coverage, and that will pay for the entire bypass operation, the hospital stay, et cetera. And that will be completely covered. However, if they have Parkinson's disease or dementia or Alzheimer's disease, there is extremely limited Medicare coverage for that. and they're looking at monthly expenses of $10,000 to $15,000, and either they have to pay out of pocket or qualify for a government program called Medicaid. One alternative is if the people would buy long-term care insurance. However, the insurance companies want to insure the 45-year-old who just ran the New York City Marathon, not the 72-year-old who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's last week.
If you buy this insurance, that's very interesting, Bernard Crooks. I haven't thought about that. If you buy the insurance at 45, never mind whether you ran the marathon or not, are you subject to automatic renewal? Is this like term insurance?
If you purchase it and you qualify, the company cannot disqualify you later on because you have a condition. What they can do, Larry, is they can apply to the insurance commissioner of New York State for a rate increase for all people in your class. So it's possible the rates could go up, but they can't deny you the coverage as long as you continue to pay the premiums.
So have people gotten the word that there is this solution?
Absolutely. The word has gotten out that insurance is a viable solution. The problem is the time to buy it is when you're young. The typical 45-year-old has kids going to college, has a retirement fund that he wants to participate in, and has a whole plethora of other expenses. And it's just difficult to get people of that age bracket to think about what's going to happen if they need to go into a nursing home in 30 or 40 years.
And we're speaking with Bernard Crooks. Bernard Crooks, president of the New York chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. He is also founding partner at Littman Crooks. You're listening to him on WVOX, WRTN, and WVOX.com. We have about 3 minutes before we break for traffic and weather. With these changes right now, what is different that happened a year ago compared to what we're going to have next year, so to speak, on these programs?
Here's what's different. Before this new legislation passed, you were able to protect some of your assets even if you waited till the last minute. In other words, somebody didn't do any advance planning. They were diagnosed with an illness. They're on the nursing home doorstep. They were still able to go to a lawyer and have their assets protected. What they did with this legislation is they made it much more complicated and much more difficult to do crisis planning, and what they forced people to do, which I guess at some level is a good thing, is to plan in advance. So people who plan in advance, get their affairs in order before they get sick, will still be able to protect their assets. People who wait until something happens and they're on the nursing home doorstep are going to find it much more difficult to protect what they've worked their entire lives for.
And what happens is that if someone doesn't plan, and God forbid they get, let us say, Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, in essence, their nest egg will be spent down and then they'll be put on Medicaid, where if they do plan, the nest egg can be passed on to, you know, the Alzheimer's Foundation, for example.
You hit the nail on the head, or not, or even it can be passed on to a spouse. A lot of times what happens, Larry, is that in New York State, if you're married, you're legally responsible to pay for the health care costs of your spouse. So what happens a lot of times, one spouse gets sick, goes into the nursing home, and the spouse who's well and living at home becomes completely impoverished paying for his or her spouse's nursing home care. So I think that's the critical issue here. We want to make sure that the spouses are protected.
That's a state law?
That is a state law.
So that one looks to Albany, not to Washington.
Well, I believe it's the law in most states in this country, but if we were going to change that, if we were going to eliminate spousal responsibility, we would do it at Albany.
How significant would just that, it's sometimes easier to get things done in Albany, my experience is, what consequence would that have if that part of the law got changed?
Well, I think that we would end up having a bigger budgetary item for health care, because right now the spouses are paying for it, and if Albany picked up the tab, I think that would ultimately fall on the taxpayers.
Well, but that would resolve the problem from the spouse's point of view, would it not?
Clearly, and from a public policy standpoint, I think that's probably a good idea.
Bernard Crooks, president of the New York chapter of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys and founding partner at Littman Crooks, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. It has been a pleasure, and if stuff develops on this issue, please feel free to call us back.
Larry, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we are coming up on 7:30, half past 7.